From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Not long after Nelson Mandela was elected, he took a bold political risk, and it involved, of all things, the sport of rugby. White South Africans worshipped the country's national rugby team, called the Springboks. Black South Africans hated the team and the sport. They saw both as symbols of white racist rule. As South Africa prepared to host the 1995 Rugby World Cup, Mandela decided to use the sport to bring resentful blacks and fearful whites together. It was quite a gamble, and the story of how that gamble played out is the subject of the latest film from director Clint Eastwood. It's called Invictus, and it stars Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela and a very bulked-up Matt Damon as the captain of the Springboks team, Francois Pienaar. To pursue what at first seems like a hopeless dream, the two men form an alliance to turn the struggling team into a winner. In this scene, with the world watching, Pienaar reminds his team what's at stake.
Look in my eyes. Do you hear? Listen to your country. 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Defense, defense, defense. This is it. This is our destiny. Come on, come on.
Matt Damon told me his first concern wasn't whether or not he could nail Pienaar's tough accent. It was trying to match the rugby captain's height.
And that was the first thing I said to Clint, because I looked him up online and just saw the size of him. And I said, listen, I'm 5'10", and I don't think I'm going to grow 6 inches before we start shooting. So what do we do about that? And he said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, worry about everything else, and I'll worry about that. My job, if you don't believe me in a role that I'm playing, if for one moment you are paying more attention to the fact that you're not believing what I'm doing or how I'm behaving, then I've failed at my job.
So it's partly a physical transformation, but what did you have to do to get inside the head of a white Afrikaner who's used to the privilege that would come with living in the country at that time, particularly as the captain of the national rugby team?
I think in large part, look, you're never, as an American going there, to grasp the nuance of that culture is probably impossible. The fear and the guilt and the shame and all of those things probably could only truly be expressed by somebody who was from there. But at the same time, in John Carlin's book, or even in Francois's book, you kind of get the picture of, I mean, he was an athlete. He was really focused on rugby. And winning the World Cup was his lifelong dream. So it was an amazing thing that the president came to him and that the president supported him the way he did. But it was something that they were all very focused on and would have been focused on anyway.
You know, in the film, Pienaar's father makes it clear that he doesn't much care for Nelson Mandela. And many of his teammates don't much care for the new president, the new leader of the country. But Pienaar seems to be different. He comes at this from a different point of view. Is it because he is so focused on his sport, or was there something else that you were trying to capture?
Well, I think all the characters, I mean, in any movie, particularly, this is a really complicated story, and any movie is going to be 2 hours long. You're going to have some simplification, and each character is going to stand in for a different perspective. So on the white side, you know, you've got Pienaar, and then you've got the teammates, and they're kind of grumbling about, you know, not wanting to learn Nkosi Sikelele Africa, you know, the new national anthem. And you have to do that to kind of represent all these different perspectives, because those were perspectives that truly were there in the country at that time. When in reality, Francois said they were in the shower singing Nkosi Sikelele. They were proud to sing that song, and they wanted everybody to hear, you know, these white guys get the Xhosa pronunciations correct. So I think any time with a movie, you're going to have to simplify some of the characters just so that they can kind of more artfully represent these different perspectives that were very real perspectives. I mean, you did have a kind of wide-ranging on the white side, from very, very kind of hardcore extremist perspectives to much more liberal, you know, perspectives on the white side.
Matt Damon, you had to master a very difficult accent. Several actors have said that the South African accent is one of the most difficult to master, and I understand that Afrikaners will let you know in a minute if you do not get it right.
Yeah, and they haven't hunted me down yet. So. I worked really, really hard on it. I knew that, you know, particularly there in South Africa, people would be really watching out for that, and kind of start just trying to get what it sounds like on that continent. Now we're in South Africa. Now we're in, and you slowly start boiling it down, and and you start to get towards the town of where the guy's from. And some people make a mistake going there by really overdoing the accent because it sounds so staccato and different to us. And so we wanted to make it smooth enough that people could understand it, but also, you know, make it sound like, you know, I was from there.
I had a chance to speak with Morgan Freeman last year, and he told me that one of the things he likes about working with Clint Eastwood, the director of this film, is that he's fast and he doesn't get a lot of takes to get things right. He's very streamlined in the way that he works. Did he keep you on your toes?
Yeah, it was exactly as it had been advertised. Which is great because, look, we're all training.
Great, or is that a bit of a challenge also?
Well, not really. I mean, we all came out of theater, so we're used to doing one take, and you know, it's just movies, you know, people tend to not work that efficiently. But if you know that you're with a group that works that way, you come really prepared. And it's great. And Clint told me, he said on Unforgiven, we were talking about Gene Hackman because, you know, Morgan and Gene Hackman are two of my favorite actors. And he said, and on the first day, there was a scene with the two of them together. And I said, well, let's rehearse this and see how this might go. And he said, they each got one or two lines out. And I just said, stop. Just get the camera in here right now. And he said, and I never rehearsed again with either of them because they are ready to go. And they're like thoroughbreds. And when they show up at work, you have to be ready. And they kind of push you.
You know, as I think about the kinds of films that you've made, and an actor's catalog is much like an artist's portfolio. And taken together, all those films tell a story of the artist. How do you choose roles, and what kind of larger picture are you trying to paint with each of those choices?
I don't do a lot of long-term strategizing. I think that gets people in trouble. I just do a movie if it feels right, and generally that means that it's a director that I want to work with. Obviously, you want the role to be good, but that's actually the least important component for me, just because I want to direct someday, so I'm really enjoying working with these different directors, and I'd be directing already if it weren't for these great acting jobs I keep getting offered. And also, look, I don't feel like I'm doing any damage to my directing career by waiting to start and continuing to work with people like Clint or Soderbergh or the Coen brothers. I learn so much every day that I go to work, just being around these guys and watching them solve problems. You know, it's really a great way to learn how to do something.
Matt Damon, thanks so much.
All right, Michelle, thanks a lot.
Matt Damon, he stars in the latest film from director Clint Eastwood. It's called Invictus. I'm